Thanks, Daryl. So Luke 4:31-44. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All of the people were amazed and said to one another, "What words these are! With authority and power he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God," but he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. Thank you. Or 44?
Yep.
At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when he came to them, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea.
Well, good morning and welcome once again to Brookside Baptist Church. It is great that you have been able to join with us, be it in person or via our live stream. I hope and I pray that you are well at this time. If you haven't had a chance yet and you're online, we really encourage you to complete that National Church Life Survey. It is a great chance for us as a church to get a snapshot of where we are. And it's also a great chance for churches in general to get a snapshot of what faith looks like for us. So let me strongly encourage you to do that. If you've already done it, thank you so much. It is greatly appreciated. All right, so last week we started talking about Jesus being the Messiah, and we looked at it as Jesus did it in his hometown. He made that proclamation in Nazareth, and it didn't go well, did it? I mean, the people of Nazareth in the end decided, well, look, no, we're going to try and push Jesus off the edge of a very large hill. Now, Jesus grew up in Nazareth, we know this, and although Jesus was known as Jesus the Nazareth, or from Nazareth, Capernaum was eventually, I should say, became the headquarters for his ministry, sort of his central point, the place that he goes to and comes from. And today we hear some accounts, three events in that area of Capernaum. All of them have a common theme. The first event is this. Jesus is in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Last week we established and we reminded ourselves that the primary ministry of Jesus was as a teacher. He was someone who got in front of crowds and spoke a message about a kingdom of God that was coming and how it would change everything. He didn't just do it. In my mind, I constantly have this picture of Jesus just walking around the countryside, standing by lakes, preaching, or, you know, on top of a hill, preaching in fields, preaching. Jesus also preached in temples and synagogues. He spent a lot of time talking on the Sabbath to those who already had an inclination of what it meant
know God. I sometimes wish that there were recording devices back then. Man, how good would it be to actually hear a recording of one of Jesus' sermons? I wonder what sort of illustrations he used. But we do know this. People were astonished at his teaching. They talked about how his word had carried such power. Maybe they were just used to teachers who talked a lot but didn't say very much. Or maybe these teachers were ones who spoke a lot, but their actions didn't match their words. But what we have next is a series of events that show Jesus not only made proclamations and preached with power and authority, but he lived the life. He backed it up. In the city of Nazareth, in that temple, he talked about how the Messiah had come and how the time was at hand for God's kingdom to break in. And not only that, we see later on in Capernaum that he starts casting out evil spirits or demons, and he heals people. But it's interesting to note, right, that as Jesus is talking and as that evil spirit comes forward, it acknowledges who Jesus was. One writer actually points out that, isn't it interesting that the people in Capernaum, the representation of man, refused to acknowledge who Jesus was. Yet here is a demon who constantly refers to him as the Holy One of God, who later on in the chapters, the evil spirits, want to tell people, hey, this is the Messiah. And see, this is all going back to what Jesus said in 18 and 19 of chapter 4 about being the kingdom of God and about the coming Messiah. He said that the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. The kingdom of God, this message is about proclaiming freedom and wholeness. Isn't that a picture of Jesus releasing someone from being controlled by an evil spirit? I mean, in my mind, I always imagine a demon possession to look a little bit like a hostage situation. The person needed to be set free, to have their oppression lifted. And Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner, recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free. Jesus not only talks the talk, but he walks the walk. He didn't just talk about the kingdom of God. He showed people what the kingdom of God would look like. People being free from oppression. In Nazareth, the people could not see Jesus for who he was. But here in Capernaum, it was different. Jesus brought healing. And then we get towards the end of our passage when the sun's going down and the Sabbath was officially over and everyone from the surrounding countryside started bringing their sick and injured friends and relatives to Jesus. And we just see this picture of Jesus having great compassion on them all. And he deals with more and more demon possession, sick and needy. He comes to set the prisoner free, to give sight to the blind, to heal people, and to set the oppressed free. See, the whole point of this section is to remind us, is to get us to understand that Jesus has the power and the authority. He taught with power and authority, and he rebukes demons with power and authority. He rebuked fevers with power and authority. Jesus speaks to nature, and nature listens and obeys. Jesus speaks to spiritual powers, and they listen and obey. It's a picture of Jesus not only having the authority to do it, but the power to do it. I mean, a word from Jesus, a little word, and it has power. But notice this, power and authority, it doesn't come from the law, but rather it came from God. We're told that when the Son of God came to earth, I missed a big chunk of that sentence there, when the Son of God came to earth and took on human flesh, he brought his power and authority with him. Man, I want to hear Jesus' sermon in the flesh. He healed the sick. But it all starts with his teaching ministry. Jesus will cast out demons and raise the dead, but it all starts with his teaching ministry. The people of Capernaum saw that Jesus was from God. They saw that his healing was part of his teaching. They understood that the Lord had visited them and had revealed his Messiah. We look back with hindsight, and we will say, and we remind ourselves constantly, that the ultimate and most eternal healing that Jesus has worked for all of us is on the cross. On the cross, Jesus suffered his final and the eternal consequences of our sin. Not only that, he endures the full punishment of it, the stuff that was meant for us. Jesus paid the costs. He took our place. He satisfies the judgment of God against our sins. Just as God had promised through the prophet Isaiah, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. This event brings about peace. Sometimes it doesn't feel like we live in peace, but his wounds is where we are healed. Jesus goes on to show again the power and authority that was given to him. Jesus doesn't just die for our sins. That's only half the story. He's resurrected from the dead. The resurrection is a reminder of all the promises that he has given us, and that all of his works, his perfect life, his sacrifice on the cross was all done for us, and it's guaranteed because he rose from the dead. He conquered what we could not. Jesus even promises that we too shall rise just as he rose. Those who put their faith in him, their trust in him, will live the eternal life with him. But it's not about the eternal life in heaven. It's about having a deep and intimate relationship with God. It's to be free from the things that oppress us. That's behind the promise of salvation. That's the power and authority of Jesus' words. And these are the same words that created the whole universe out of nothing. These are the same words that continue to sustain and keep all things in existence. It's the very word that became flesh in the womb of Mary. Luke is now starting to paint this picture for us. The Holy Word revealed to humanity. A word that brings peace from the things that hold us down. All things are possible with his word. By the power of his word, Jesus joins us to him in his life, in his suffering, his death, and most importantly, his resurrection. We celebrate it through baptism, his righteousness becoming our righteousness. The punishment he endured on the cross is credited to us. His burial becomes our burial. His resurrection assures us that we too shall rise from the dead to live with him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. The words of Jesus set so many people free. The Word and the Holy Spirit can change an unbelieving enemy of God into a faithful child. It encourages us and builds in us faith. Not faith in ourselves or faith on someone else. Instead, the Holy Spirit calls us to have faith in God's Word, Jesus. He gathers us all together in one holy church, and it's eternally united with Jesus Christ. You know, that's one of the things I love about the National Church Life Survey. It's not a Baptist thing. It's a church thing. I love how they get statistics from churches across our country. Churches from that denomination to this denomination to our denomination to their denomination, and it shows us that we are still united in Christ. But from our passage today, we've got to have this understanding that Christ's word is powerful. It has what we need. It does what it says it will. So a challenge. God's word has the power to give us life. But sometimes we let our Bibles sit on the shelf gathering dust. The challenge is, how can we study it more? How can we dive into the words of God more deeply? I mean, that's part of what the MST forms and goals are. It's part of what our small groups try and do. To help us to not be ashamed to study this word, to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? Because Christ's word has power and authority. It's the power and authority to rebuke demons, the power to rebuke fevers, the power and authority to save us from our sins. So don't let this week go by without opening the scriptures. If you do it once all this week, you've made 100% improvement from last. Jesus has the ability to set us free from oppression. It's a little bit like being in prison and seeing the key laying just outside the bars. It's within reach. We just have to reach out and grab it. Let's pray. Father, as we come together, as we have worshipped you in song, and as we explored your word made flesh, we pray, God, that you would help us. Help us to fall more in love with you, to go deeper in our relationship, to open the Bible up one more time this week than we did last week. Father, we pray that you would allow your Holy Spirit to convict us of our sins, the things that we do wrong deliberately and the things that we do not do that we should. Father, we thank you for our time together. So, Father, as we go into this week, we pray that you would be with us, encourage us, build us up. And we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Well, bless you guys. Thank you so much for joining with us this week. We will see you next time. But before we go, I believe we have one more song. So if you would like to stand as the music team comes forward.